You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to the Break a Bat podcast, where baseball meets Broadway. An attempt to show that my two favorite mediums don't have to live in such separate worlds and maybe even break some stigmas. We're happy to have you with us. Now let's play ball.
Hello and welcome to Break a Bat. I'm your host, Al Malafronte, coming at you from the remote batter's box for yet another edition of the Break a Bat Quarantine Series. We do have a pretty cool one in store for you. I'd have to say it's right up the alley of our genre, so I'm definitely excited about that. Our special guest is actually someone who's pretty well known in the baseball circuit as a pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I'd have to say, along with Aroldis Chapman of the Yankees, definitely one of the more prominent members of the baseball and Broadway crossover community, as this offseason, he went from the pitcher's mound to the recording studio to channel his love of musical theater towards an all-new album of show tunes, A Pitch at Broadway, available wherever you get your music. And he's nice enough to join us today. So if you'll please turn your attention to home plate, just beyond the marquee, now batting, Stephen Brault. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, guys? I'm happy to be here. Al, is it actually difficult for you to say your own name? Like when you read it off of like a script, is it hard? Do you like read it and like try really not to mess it up?
Dude, it means bad forehead in Italian. So I just try to get it out of my mouth as quick as possible so that flies under the radar and no one calls me out on it.
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough, man. I'm sorry.
I know. We can't all have those like five-letter last names like Brault or Jeter or, you know, quick little ones like that. So you look
down. Yeah, well, I'm Stephen Joseph Brault, which each of my names have six letters, so 666. So, you know, we all have our problems.
You know, obviously, you know, first of all, can you just take the folks at home a little through your background as far as your beginnings as someone who I think greatly exemplifies the love of both baseball and the arts, and I guess how you developed your passion for both?
As a kid, you know, my parents are big baseball fans. I grew up in San Diego, so I was a huge Padres fan. I still am. And, you know, as when you're a little kid, you start playing baseball. It's what you do if your parents are baseball fans. So I played baseball. And then fifth grade was the first time that anything really came up. And it was the San Diego Opera came to my elementary school and did a production of Rip Van Winkle for whatever reason. And I played Henry Hudson and I loved it. It was super fun. So then I started doing community theater in sixth grade, auditioned and, you know, got some tiny part, but just had a blast and got a lot of friends, brought some more friends in, and then just kind of kept building until my junior year of high school. I finally started singing choir, and you know, so it's, I mean, there's more. You know, I went to college at Regis University where I studied music. So, I mean, it's been a lot of stuff now.
How did your peers view your dual participation in both sports and the arts in high school and then I guess into college as well?
I don't know. I had friends that were, you know, that did both. I had friends in music. I had friends in baseball. I had friends that did both, or at least liked both. And, you know, I had actually in high school, so we were in a rock band, me and a few of my friends that were in theater, but also loved baseball. And then, the choir that I was in, like got to go to Europe every year for 10 days. And so I convinced like eight of the guys on the baseball/football team, because we needed more guys. I was like, hey, if you guys come join choir, like you'll get to go to Europe for 10 days. Like it's sick. And so I did. So it kind of grew from there. And then college, my junior recital, which, you know, was classical music, opera, I mean, it was all in Latin and Spanish and Italian, and, you know, every other German, French. I had like 15 of my teammates at the recital with no idea what was going on, but they were just very supportive. So I've always had that kind of support system, which has been very helpful, I think.
Well, I think it's because you're a gregarious and effusive person. I think your personality, and I watched actually your junior performance. You sing, but you also are so emotive. It seems like that you bring part of yourself to every single performance. I was wondering if, like, you know, you play baseball. I'm wondering, how do you keep that calm and that cool going each time?
When you're on the mound, all of those things that when I perform, all the emotion that I try to show, when I'm on the mound, I feel all of those things and I act and I just try to keep a straight face. When in my head, I'm like, you know, like extremely angry when things go poorly, but just keep a straight face like nothing happened. And then you can go into the clubhouse later and blow it up if you need to.
How do your big league teammates react to that?
I am by far one of the least crazy people when it comes to not performing well. Some people love the whole blow up thing. It's not necessarily my thing. I've done it, but I don't do it all the time.
I guess you grew up around San Diego. Did you used to go catch your shows at La Jolla Playhouse? Is that like the main spot that a kid in your area would go to catch their musical theater?
It depends. I mean, La Jolla Playhouse is good. And I've actually had a few friends perform there. But if you're going to go see like the off-Broadway shows, that's at the San Diego Civic Center, which is downtown. And that's probably where I've seen the most shows.
Did you used to come to New York much and catch some actual Broadway?
I've literally never seen a show on actual Broadway.
Get the hell out of here. So everything you saw was the touring production in California.
This is critical for someone who has released an album and sound has the voice of an angel. Are you kidding me? You have not heard these Broadway shows, but you know all these songs succinctly, and you can literally be a top one hit. What?
Well, thank you. I like to think of it more of a mix of Fergie and Jesus, but I've never had the opportunity to go see a show on Broadway because whenever we're in New York, we're playing. And when I was a kid, you know, it just wasn't really a huge, I didn't need to go to a Broadway show. And honestly, like, I wouldn't have asked my parents to take us to a Broadway show because they were super expensive. I was one of four kids. Like, I mean, we had a lot going on, you know? So,
I mean, I think it's incredible. Like, you are honestly a multi-threat in multiple ways, but I would love for you to meet some previous guests we had. Derek, remember Al?
Derek Klena. Do you know Derek Klena, Steven?
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, my God. A Jagged Little Pill? Oh, he plays Nick. This guy, I guarantee, is going to be nominated for a Tony Award. He was actually... Al, would you please inform our guests, if you don't mind?
Well, no, basically, like you, he grew up in Southern California, and he participated in both sports and the arts. He went to UCLA for theater, but ended up playing baseball there as a freshman. He redshirted, and then... He ended up taking the theater passion further beyond college as opposed to baseball.
He pitched with Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer as well at UCLA.
Yeah.
So it's like interesting to get his perspective from that. And so we get to talk to you, and it's just fascinating how there's this crossroad and that it's amazing between sports and arts, how the two connect. Like, you've got a physicality. I saw you performing actually on air or YouTube, and you have this presence where it's like, you know what? You're effusive and you actually can perform. Like, you know what? It's not just singing. You got to create, you know what? I said Bo Jackson before, Deion Sanders, dual sport athletes, but you've got to become the next dual sport triple threat, being all those. I'm telling you, my man.
Thank you. I'll try. It's not necessarily up to me, but I did get in trouble when I was singing, singing classical music and doing these performances in college. My first vocal coach that I had she was an angry woman, and she would just like get so mad at me for like emoting so much when I'm supposed to be like singing a classical song and being technically correct and, you know, having the right form and singing exactly perfectly. And I'm just like, I don't do that. And so I actually changed vocal coaches, in between, like at my sophomore year, because I was just like, that is not for me. That is not what I want to do. So I get it. But I did get to just perform right before the season with the Pittsburgh Symphony. We did a blockbuster Broadway thing. And I got to sing with, I had to get their last names. But these three women who have been on Broadway for a long time is Jessica Hendy, Kelly Rabke, and Carrie O'Malley. And they've all, you know, done their fair share, crazy amounts of I know Jess was on Cats. She's, you know, she was in the original and on tour and in the revival. And what is that song? Something Dream?
Memory?
Wait, no. Memory, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she got on the Broadway revival. She was the, you know, the cat singing Memory.
Chris, I don't know Bella, anything about, yeah. Grisabella, yeah. Sure.
I don't know anything about Cats. I don't, good for her, but I know that song.
Good for her that she wasn't in the movie.
Right.
Now, it's funny. So you chose to sit. Now, this is your first real album release, right?
Yeah.
What made you want to center it around show tunes?
Well, I did rock albums when I was in high school. We wrote our own music. And then I was in a few bands like in college and then to a little bit when I was playing in the minor leagues. But this was the first album that was, you know, my album, Stephen Brault album. And it was, I got approached by a producer in LA who has worked with Bernie Williams on his albums, Bronson Arroyo, and Nick Swisher. And he was like, you know, I've seen you do this other stuff. I think it'd be really interesting if instead of just going like the normal rock band or pop route, we went something that would stand out. And he knew my, you know, my past with Broadway, and he asked me, and I was like, that sounds great to me. I'm in. Let's do it. So
now, you know, as far as the song selection goes, you picked some really, really great Broadway classics, and you even incorporated, you know, some more modern stuff from Wicked and Dear Evan Hansen in there. What went into covering the songs that you did? Were they based on favorite shows and soundtracks?
Yeah, so what we did was at the beginning, it was spring training of 2019 that he first approached my agency, and then they talked to me, and then I started talking to him. And basically what we did was I compiled like all of the musicals slash any other specific songs that I really enjoyed that, you know, we could throw onto it. And we had probably like 60 to 70 songs on a list. And what we would do is we would every now and then, you know, he would text me and be like, hey, let's eliminate this one and this one. And I would, you know, a few days, whatever, like, let's eliminate this one, this one, and this one. And we started at 60 to 70, we got down to 12. I kind of wish that I had that original list. But, you know, we just literally edited it down to what it is now. So that it's fine. But it was a lot of fun. And, you know, we went literally, you know, we have a song from Hadestown, which has another Major League Baseball player on it, Josh Bell, who's our first baseman. He does the Hermes part, the speaking part. And then we go back to Carousel. So kind of big, big gap.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
There was one that I found particularly interesting. You did Defying Gravity. By any chance, did you happen to watch Glee?
Oh, of course I did, yeah.
So they touched on how that one in particular, culturally for many years due to various ignorance, it was a song that a lot of people said should only be sung by a girl. Chris Colfer, who played Kurt, actually suggested it to Ryan Murphy, who created the show, because when Chris Colfer was in school, his choir teacher wouldn't let him sing the song for that reason. You sing Elphaba's part in the album. Tell us a little bit about that one.
Yeah, so Wicked and Phantom of the Opera are my two favorite shows. And I've seen them both a lot of times. And for me, there's two parts in those shows that are the best. In Phantom of the Opera, it's the beginning of the show. As soon as the lights go down and the organ is just so loud and just goes, da 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 da, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's Phantom, let's go. But then in Wicked, at the end of the first act, Defying Gravity, it's impossible not to cry. Like, I mean, if you really want to fight it, you know, you're still like wiping tears from your face. Like, no, I'm not crying. I'm not crying. You're crying. and I just wanted to sing that song. I've wanted to sing that song forever. And my whole life, I've listened to it on the original Broadway soundtrack. And I've just been like, well, that's too high. I can't hit those notes. I know that I could, but it would sound terrible. So
you can.
Thank you. So what we did was we actually raised the key by a whole step, and then I sang it the octave below. So that's how we decided would be the best way to do it. And honestly, it's still a little bit lower than I would have liked, but I knew I wanted a woman to sing the Glinda part, so it couldn't be too much higher because then a woman wouldn't be able to hit the notes. So it was a fun little you know, mix-up game. It was a good time.
Yeah, that was awesome. And you know, ideally, you know, I'm not sure if it's going to be in 2020, but one day if you have like a Saturday day game at Citi Field, hopefully you'll be able to catch that one at night. Because there's something about seeing it at the George Gershwin that, at least for me, it's one I've said before on the show, that's on a short list of shows that I've seen twice. I think there's all of three shows that fall into that.
See, I'm bad. I see the same shows a lot. And then but I listen to every soundtrack. I mean, I listen to all of the soundtracks because I feel like it's the much lazier version of going to the show. You know, it's fun trying to put together the plot of a musical by just listening to the soundtrack. Don't look it up at all. Just so Dear Evan Hansen, for example, I listened to probably 100 times through without knowing at all that it was an extremely depressing show.
Wait, dude, same. I thought it was going to be humor at first. And then just,
yeah.
You know what? You get surprised.
You do. And like, it was just very interesting when I was listening to, through it, and I was like, clearly something happened, but like, you know, he's this guy's friend, and then, you know, it's sad. And then I went, look at the plot, and I'm like, he never knew him? What did I miss here? Like, I was lost, but that's okay. It's still really fun.
That's one of the few shows that I listen to the soundtrack before going, because for me, that's like just kind of a thing of mine where I don't want to listen to the soundtrack before I go. But for that one, tickets were in such demand and they were so expensive. I'm like, damn, I've heard all these good things. Like, I eventually caved. And then Doug and I did go to see the show when I think it was almost all of the original cast, less Ben Platt. We went like February of 2018, right, Doug? And then I think that Laura Dreyfus was still in it, Michael Parr.
Three or four cocktails, I'm not sure, but it was fun.
The way I equate that is, I wouldn't really go see a concert of a band I didn't know. So like, I don't mind listening to the soundtrack first because I like to know if I'm going to like the music in the show. Like, for example, Avenue Q, I listened to a bunch before I went and saw it, which I saw with my friend's mom, which was super awkward.
Just the two of you?
No, I guess I should. It was me and my friend and his mom. Yeah. But like, being there, we were like, you know, 16, and they're all making all these jokes about sex, and like, and I was just like, oh my God. Oh no. I had no idea it was this bad, but I don't care. I'm enjoying it. So whatever.
But I was going to ask you, how'd you get from classic rock, where you were with your bands, like with your, like your friends, and then you went over to Broadway? Because like, I'm thrilled that you did, because your voice is freaking natural as a tenor, and also the way that you're emphatic and the way you move and the emotions you have. Showed my pops about it today, and he's like, that's actually a guy that belongs on Broadway.
Thank you. I got to meet a lot of Broadway people through this process, and it's been really fun. But honestly, I sang, you know, rock music growing up. I listened to my favorite bands growing up were System of a Down, Incubus, and then I went like Avenged Sevenfold. And nowadays, Chris Cornell is my favorite musical artist. And so I kind of bounce around the alternative rock scene.
So
But then I just loved the music in musical theater because it gives so much more emotion and such a bigger, like stronger message I think you can portray through acting plus singing. You know, I think it all brings it all together. So like I got to, you know, Adam Pascal, you know, was a duet with me on this album on Butter Out of Cream from Catch Me If You Can. And it was so much fun, like getting to sing with him in studio and just being able to be around him and just see the way he does things. And his voice is so unique and awesome. And I've loved him forever. So like getting to have him come on was just amazing. And we had Natalia Vivino, who was in tour with Wicked before obviously all this happened. And she sang on If I Could Tell Her from Dear Evan Hansen and It Only Takes a Taste from Waitress. So, I mean, it's just been so cool. It's been so cool.
I really did love the album. And it's funny you mentioned Adam Pascal. I had seen him in Disaster. And then, of course, you know, he was in Rent back in the day. Your own version of Seasons of Love, though, was fantastic, man. I thought that that was certainly a standout for sure.
Thanks. Yeah, we did. So that one was with Bill Champlin and his group. And Bill Champlin was the lead singer of the band Chicago for 26 years. So he's got some chops for sure.
Oh, yeah. He came in after Peter Cetera left, actually. I remember that guy. Yes. Now, I got to tell you this. I'm not sure if you'd ever consider doing it. You know, once things get back to normal, doing like a one-off on Broadway. I'm not sure if you heard a few years ago, Mark Teixeira did a one-off in Rock of Ages and CeCe did the same thing last year. Would you ever consider doing something like that?
I want you to rack your brain for the one thing that they have in common.
They're Yankees.
Yeah, I mean,
who cares though? I mean, now this is your chance to make your imprint on the Broadway community.
My goal, I've heard that there's a possibility that it could happen to be able to be, what's the guy's name in Chicago? Because they do like 1 to 3 month stints.
Like the Billy Flynn parts, like they do that with Roxy all the time. Yeah, they swap the leads in and out. You know,
so,
they just had one of the Real Housewives as Roxy Hart.
Okay, Pascal was telling me like he was because he did it. He was Billy Flynn for 3 months 1 year, and he was like, "You should do that." You know, next off season, and I was like, "Adam, I don't think you understand how this works. I can't just go like." Rehearse for, you know, a month or whatever, and then just go do this for 3 months and then start baseball again. I would love to, but I don't think I can make that happen.
So that's why you think you can't, like, because I was wondering, you could be like a quadruple threat. You have everything, man. You are literally like, you would be incredible at whatever you do. You're a musician, you're an athlete, your personality. But like, I was wondering, is baseball take too much time that you can't have in the off season to be able to actually do some Broadway productions?
I mean, you have an off season, who knows what this year will be with this current situation that's going on. But, the way that it works is it's twofold. One, you actually have to obviously do your work, right? You have to, get your workouts, you have to get your throwing and stuff, but you'd be able to do that in the mornings, you know, if you had shows at night, you could do it. The problem is that the optics. So like, I mean, I released an album this year, right? And it took me 2 weeks to record in the studio. And then I had to go up like one day here and there back up to LA to the studio from San Diego during the off season to do it. And you still get the people saying like, oh, he should be paying attention to baseball instead of doing this album. And it's like, dude, we don't do baseball 24/7. You can't. It's impossible. It's a physical activity. You have to do other things. So it's just... So there's multiple parts to it, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah. You know, who was saying that out of curiosity?
The people saying that I should be paying attention to the album.
Yeah.
Oh, it's angry people on the internet, obviously.
Listen, I'm a baseball fan and Broadway fan equally. I feel like so many people, especially when it comes to sports sometimes, can't separate the need for any sort of performer, whether it be on stage or at the stadium, to have those outlets. And when you have a creative outlet, I just don't get why they sometimes don't understand why, or sometimes they don't understand how it can translate to more productivity on the field, which is all they seem to want anyway.
Right. I mean, it's a, okay. So during the season, for a night game, get up at around 9 or so. I'm an early riser in baseball. During the off season, I wake up at like 6:30. So, but during the season, you go to bed later. So I wake up at like 9. And then I have from 9 until about 12:30, 1 o'clock to have time to myself. And then you go to the field and you're at the field until 11, right? So it's like we're at the field for so long that those hours that you're not at the field, you should not be thinking about baseball because it will tear you apart. Because if I had a bad outing 3 days ago, and in the time that I'm at home, if I'm like watching video the entire time, all you're going to do is overprocess things, overthink it. It's not going to help. You need to be able to separate a little bit.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So separate, I mean, we're talking about separation right now. We have two different spring training leagues. We've got the Arizona League, the Cactus League, and then we've got the Florida League, which is the Grapefruit League. We've heard recent proposals that we could have two different types of seasons, removing the AL and the NL. As someone who's actually a professional pitcher in the NL, what do you feel about that? Because there must be designated hitter that is going to be proposed. And it just seems crazy at the onset. Is this just a grasp at straws, or what do you think, just to get on a more serious note? Sorry, my friend.
No. I love this stuff. So, first of all, I think that the DH universally is coming. I do. I think that that's what people want, and I understand it. I totally do. However, I think that all of the things that are coming out are being discussed. I think that they, like, there's a reason that they come out. It's not just somebody saying it on the internet. It's probably in the discussions between MLB and the Players Association. But that doesn't mean it has any basis in actually going to happen. It's just somebody at a table going, what if we just like did both spring trainings and like that was the two leagues? Like, okay, well then the teams in Arizona get to play all within 30 minutes of each other and the teams in Florida have to go 4 hours to go play each other. Like that doesn't
take
make
buses.
Sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we've also heard the proposal of everybody going to Arizona and playing it that way and being sequestered in hotels and like literally not being able to leave other than field hotel and that's it. You've heard like the we're just going to wait it out, maybe play a bunch of doubleheaders, maybe play until December. You know, we're hearing it all. The truth is nothing's going to matter until we start to get some kind of like okays from the government. Like, all right, we can start, you know, at least having 30 people together again, because right now it's down, it's 10, right? I mean, we can't have more than 10 people in any place. And they're even, the government doesn't like that. So it's like, who knows what's actually going to happen, but yeah, grasping at straws, I would call it.
Now, is there a minimum number of games that you think that they'd have to get into a schedule to make it all worth it for you as players?
No, I think they'll play as few or as many games as they possibly can, because it no matter how many games you play, it is beneficial to both the players and the owners, money-wise, to play as many games as you can. So if you can only play 30 games, play 30 games, you know?
And you talk about beneficial. Think about how beneficial it would be to our country just to have something like this that we could rally behind and maybe have that hint of normalcy and to give people some joy. That's why, listen, Mark Teixeira is one of my all-time favorite Yankees ever. But based on this, his reaction to this whole thing, and I know he was always a very outspoken player, but he was speaking as if they would be asking you guys to play 100 games in 50 days. That's not what the proposal is. Just to get back onto the field, there's so much passion among so many of these great players around the league that I really hope that they can put together something, whether it's 30 games, 60 games, 100. I guess, like you said, though, it very much remains to be seen just, you know, based on what the government dictates. And
no, they got weird styles, man. They're talking about 7-inning games, doubleheaders, like talking about playing in Florida and then Arizona, creating two different leagues, getting rid of the AL and the NL. I don't know what. Like, I don't know. I mean, see, what would you like? I mean, I don't know. You're the one.
What would I like? I mean, I think the best thing we can do is if we can play as soon as possible. If that means that we play our first month in Arizona, everybody's in Arizona, there's no fans, and you know, like we're playing some kind of weird schedule in which you can't, you know, you have to separate for a day. If anybody gets it, basically, it's like, then we have to quarantine a team, whatever they have to do. But I think that as soon as you can start playing games, you need to, because, you know, baseball, as much as we love it, is kind of, as far as viewership goes, continues to go down. And that sucks. So how do you boost viewership? If Major League Baseball is literally the only live sport on TV, do you know how much people are going to get back into it? Because even when the other sports start, they'll be like, yeah, but I got into this baseball season, and so like I'm going to stick with it. Like, I got to see this thing out. You know what I mean? So I don't know. I think we should just play as soon as possible, that, like, whatever that means.
So much of that is going to fall on both Bob Manfred and Tony Clark, who were very much at the center of everything that happened this offseason before coronavirus. Real quick, what did you think of the whole Astros scandal and how Manfred handled it?
It's hard to talk about because there's a few ways to look at it. One, everybody in baseball is always looking for an edge. Anybody who's ever played baseball will tell you at some point they tried something that was not legal by the rules of the game. That is true, you know? But I think that using technology to further your team's success is really crossing a line. So I am one of many players that don't like it at all. And I wish they had gotten more punishment. I do. I wish the players had gotten more punished. But, you know, we can't necessarily, we don't decide punishments. So basically at this point, it's just like, at least the world knows now that you cheated and you know, they were like the golden boys of Major League Baseball. And they're definitely not that anymore. And so I guess that kind of loss of status is pretty good punishment in itself. But, you know.
Did you have any inkling that this was going on?
Oh, everybody did. But the problem is that it's not something you know for sure. Like, the Fires was able to report it because he, you know, was there and he saw it. But it's something that, like, we talk about, you know, there's a possibility whenever we're on the road, we don't trust any other team. So when we're on the road, we're using different signs every inning. Like, even with nobody on base, we're using different signs because we don't trust anybody. So I don't know if they're the only team. I have no idea. I just know that it pays off to be paranoid sometimes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Now, Stephen, we do one segment to wrap every show. It's called Fastball Derby. I usually parallel this from a hitter's perspective, being a third baseman. But since you've been making some pitches at Broadway, I want you to envision this. It's the ninth inning. Team is up a run. Bases are loaded. And you got to retire that last hitter and be on your game with your pitch selection. So we throw a question at you, and you say the first thing that comes to your head. How does that sound?
Okay. Let's see how this goes.
Favorite place to eat in New York City?
I don't even know anywhere to eat in New York City. Oh, Lavo. Boom.
Nice. All-time favorite Cast album?
Wicked's the first thing that came to mind.
Well, you know, we've always got, you know, a favorite actor or actress. When we were growing up, or I was very older, but I gotta say, right now, who's your favorite actor and actress across the whole Broadway spectrum?
Oh my God. Well, Anna Paschal is my favorite of all time. And actress, dude, Laura Dreyfus, for me, because of Dear Evan Hansen, because I didn't know who she was going into, because I don't know anything, I'm bad with actors and actresses specifically, and I just absolutely loved her in that show.
This guy is the most incredible human being we've ever had. Like,
she was great in Glee also. She was in the final season, actually.
Oh, really? I didn't see the final season.
Honestly, the peak is 1 through 4, then Corey Monteith died and it mostly went to hell. But yeah, she's a big talent. I'll take this one. Baseball film you think would work best as a Broadway musical?
Field of Dreams. There's magic in it.
They tried to make Bull Durham happen, and it like got like an out of town tryout, and kind of, they couldn't agree on a price or something like
but
that.
Angels.
I mean, but if you go like, it's true, Angels in the Outfield, but that'd be tough. I like Field of Dreams because you don't need to. There's no special effects needed. They're just like people. We know that they're magical.
You actually learn baseball. So I gotta ask like a two-part question. Like as a pitcher, so you're also a two-way player. I guarantee you could be like Michael Lorenzen. So I'm gonna ask you, most difficult hitter you faced while pitching, and also most difficult pitcher while you've been hitting. Because you think you could do this? Because I truly believe you are a 268, like you're the high 260s. Over your career, last year you hit 336. You got this, man. Like, you've got multiple career options.
Thanks. So hardest hitter I pitched against. The funny thing is, so it was Matt Kemp, but he's not playing anymore. Matt Kemp, I think career against me is like 3 for 4 with a 2-run double and 2 3-run home runs. I'm not kidding. He has my number, but he's not playing anymore. So, and then when I faced Jake Arrieta as a hitter in 2016, when he won the Cy Young, and he was impossible. I mean, it was 95 and it was like the ball was actually not being thrown. I did not strike out though. I grounded out back to him and I was very proud of myself for that strike.
That's pride, babe. Don't worry. Yeah. Like, it's like, what's the ball? If you make contact, you're like, I did good.
I was like, nice.
Now this one's from our friend Whitney, who's a big Pirates fan. If you had to cast some of your teammates in a show, which show would you choose and which roles would they play?
I would go in the Heights. Okay. And the reason being, because there's a little bit more speak singing, there's a little bit more, not necessarily rap, but you know, spoken word kind of, you know what I mean? And I would go Josh Bell because he's proven that he can do it. I would go Keanu Kayla because I know he can rap. What?
Can you do a Josh Bell imitation?
How to get to Hades town. You have to take the long way down. I can't, he's very low pitched.
He literally sounds like gravy. Like you just wanted to sing you to sleep. You're like, okay, just talk whatever you want, Josh.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
God, the man.
And then I put Trevor in there for comedic relief. And he's also got some musical talent. And then Cole Tucker's also got some musical talent too. I don't know if he sings or anything, but he definitely plays drums and guitar.
Cole's playing tonight, dude, at 9 o'clock.
I know. So yeah, it's good stuff.
Steven, last one. Best piece of advice anyone ever gave you?
When I was deciding what school I was going to go to, I had my choir professor was a hard ass. His name was Dr. Basilio. And I told him that I wanted to go to a school that could do music and baseball. And he said, if you're wanting to do both, then you clearly don't have the drive to make it in either. And so what that meant for me was, I'm going to show your ass that I can do both. And so the best piece of my advice I ever got was actually anti-advice, and I put it in my favor.
Yeah, but I got to say, thank you so much for being with us, Steven. I got to say, you really meant a lot, and I can't thank you enough, man. You're really chill, and you're teaching everyone across America that happiness comes through different ways, and we've got different sports, different types of ideas of art that can make us happy.
I agree, and I think that if you find something you're passionate about and you have even the slightest ability to do it, I think you should definitely follow along with it for a while.
I love that, Steven. And like Doug said, can't thank you enough for joining us today. Where can everyone find you on social media?
I have a Twitter. I don't really ever look at it. But on Instagram, it's Scuba, SKOOBUH. Or you can just search my name, Steven Bolt, and it'll come up. I'm also on Reddit as A_minor_leaguer because I made that Reddit account in 2015 when I was in the minor leagues, and you can't change the name. And so I've done some AMAs and stuff on there, which has been fun. But yeah, I'm all over the place.
Thank you again, Steven. And Doug, always a pleasure, buddy. This is Al Malafronte signing off from the Broadway Podcast Network and Break a Bat. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Break a Bat. This is produced by the fine folks at the Broadway Podcast Network. Visit and subscribe at bpn.fm/breakabat. You can find me online at break_a_bat_podcast. And you can also find the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram at Broadway Podcast Network. It's been so great having you here with us today, and we'll see you next time.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.